participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm enjoying your show very much in regard to the topic of circumcision. I was in Washington, D.C., and I heard an interview on the radio by a Dr. Robert Spiewak. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He's in the forefront of the anti-circumcision movement, and I heard him on an interview on the Don and Mike show, and he contends that the actions against circumcision here in this country were started by men that were totally into ass play, and that simply because there are just a lot of men that like to stick the wear from
there. Okay. You know anything about that?
I know nothing about that. What was the name of this doctor?
It's Dr. Robert Spiewak.
And he says that he's against circumcision?
He's actually for circumcision because he states that later on in life, if you're not circumcised, many men develop health problems.
Well,
for example, penis cheese and things like this.
He's clearly uninformed, and to say that this springs forth from simply from the gay movement, who had the opportunity to see one penis after another and began to see the extensive scars.
He actually has a pretty informative newsletter that I get by email. I think it comes out once a month. It's entitled "Leave My Penis Alone."
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that caller.
Don and Mike, okay. There'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Burp. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the rock.
No, he's not retarded.
Stop the rock.
No, he's not retarded.
Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop the rock.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I've had it out there here with the likes of you people.
No, he's not retarded.
Watch your language, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Hi, Don.
Check my paranoia.
I'm over here now.
Check my paranoia. My phone
No, he's not retarded.
Thank you.
Hi, Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ah, there they go, ding dong.
No, get them out of here,
tree.
No, they're wearing their summer suits. No.
Oh, I hate that.
There they are.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
No, he's not retarded.
They're not summer suits, Mike. They're playful.
Yeah, well, I don't like that kind of
they made them out of grapes. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Jason Priestley's driving record and all the ships at sea. And now, the further adventures of Hamster Pop and Butterscotch, starring Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Ohio. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show a new episode on this
Monday,
August 12th.
Right.
And your phone number is 877-365-3636. Code red. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Look at my underpants.
Red man.
Code red. It is sticky. Today, Buzz, was it a Louisville slugger today, Buzz?
Yes, it was.
Thought so.
He's sorry lying. Sorry about the splinters.
It was hollow. It was a piece of PVC pipe.
See, how am I to know?
It was a plumbing utensil.
How am I to know?
Yeah, he'll never. That's part of the way he toys with you, by not telling you what he puts there.
Meanwhile, now Mike's got this deal going with pinatas, yeah, and they got a dunking booth.
Quite the festival.
And
you like the fact that I was cooking the tortillas this morning?
And they got steak on a steak.
And I got my hot plate all there. I start at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for you to arrive, and then, you know, the people start getting excited when you come around, you know, and the Spanish gets flying. It's so much fun, really.
And the sodomy, of course, is simply so, I will say. And there he is, Buzz.
And it's worth it. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Buzz.
Buzz.
Hi. Egomaniac Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Sonny Roast Beef checking in.
Hi, Sonny Roast Beef.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you, how was it car shopping with Rob?
Car shopping with Rob?
Yeah, weren't you on his little infomercial, Cheryl? Infomercial?
Cheryl? Ah, negative. Negative. That was me calling you.
Oh, that was.
Were you calling as me? Were you
no.
Calling, yeah, no, you just.
Called as Major Bill Smith.
Oh, really? No, unfortunately, you know, it was Saturday morning. Rob said, call at 9.
Just couldn't make it on time.
Yeah, silly.
Well, I guess that's what happened when I don't pay attention.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Okay.
I was watching the Anna Nicole Smith Show.
So was I. It's like, you know what? It's like a Jason Priestley car wreck. Really, you cannot take your eyes off
it. Riveting. No.
And Jason Priestley, the worst move this dumbass made was giving an interview directly before the race.
Right.
Because as they announced it last night on the news, they showed the wreck and they said that he's broken both of his feet and
broke his back
right. and he's got all of this stuff happening.
No, he's not retarded.
No, he's one of these guys. He's a thrill seeker.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
They're interviewing him before the race and he goes, I'm not too good at driving ovals. I'm good on road tracks. I got a lot to learn.
I'm about to get in a wreck.
And they cut right from him saying,
yeah, right.
I've got a lot to learn.
Did he go right into the wall?
Well, apparently, here's the deal. There was an oil slick
right
heading into turn number two, and all the drivers had been told, avoid this area.
And he went right through it.
At 180 miles an hour.
Went right through it.
Got sideways.
F him. Good looking, full of money.
Not anymore.
Why can't you just be happy? You know, if you're Jason Priestley, why can't you just be happy being Jason Priestley?
But you wouldn't want to, like, drive a race car, though. Haven't you always wanted to do that, drive a race car?
Yeah, we both always wanted to do that. But I'm not Jason Priestley, and you're not Jason Priestley.
Well, also, wasn't he going, like, 180 miles? He was going, yes, like, over professional speed.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, 180, you shouldn't do that. No.
It's different when you're a fat schmuck who does a radio show, and really, your only excitement in life is coming to work and doing a radio show. When you're Jason Priestley,
right,
you don't need to get those type of thrills.
No, you don't.
And I say it's God's way of...
Sit there and have a nice tea with lots of babes.
Right. It's God's way of punishing him.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
God looked down and said, enough of this.
Yeah.
Enough. See how you like two broken feet and a broken back.
I will send everyone around the oil slick, but you, Priestley, I will send you through it.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Priestley?
There's no numbers now, just it's 90210.
Wow. Where'd you get that scream from, Rob?
Isn't it great?
Yeah, what's it from?
From recorded from Rob's home.
Well, yes.
Carrie?
You're right. Dinner was late this evening.
Anyway.
That's the reaction every night Rob comes home. Actually gets that reaction when he walks through the door.
He's back.
The fear.
Mommy the bad man is back. Hi. Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. I was watching it, right?
Yeah, I watched it last night again.
I'm thinking her assistant must be in love with her, because that scene where she was sitting on a chair and then Anna was right there, that look in her eye of love, just, I mean, dude, that was just plain weird.
Yeah, you know, the show doesn't have legs, right? I mean, well, of course it's got her gigantic, big, you know, meat hog legs.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, if you saw the first episode, there was nothing new to be found in the second episode.
Just her doing baby talk.
Yeah.
That little... I hate that. I think it's a real problem psychologically for a woman that does baby talk.
Uh-huh. Quit swelling my belly button.
My belly button.
Hello, Romeo. Oh, what art thou, Romeo? Please, please, throw me some diamonds, Romeo. Or just one kiss upon my cheek.
Jesus. Check out that good quote. What art my Romeo?
There she is.
There she is.
Quit swelling my belly button.
Oh.
My belly button.
Quit swelling my belly button.
What a waste of skin.
Thank you, my friend.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I was getting a little bit of a chubby watching her in that negligee shop. I don't know. There's something about her. She's...
No. You know what? There are a lot of guys.
She has her fans.
There is a reason that we get those defend her calls.
No. I wouldn't do her with Buzz's D.
You get so many guys that would remember her from her days in Playboy and love that look that she's got.
Look at her now, though.
Yeah. Quit swelling my belly button.
But that whole...
I don't know.
It's so... the way of talking turns me off so tight.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Thank you, my friend. Listen, I got to announce this right up front, mm-hmm. that we are going to be in Philly Friday night.
Oh, what a big Friday night it's going to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Las Vegas-style show in somebody's home is our way of saying thanks for the great number one ratings on 94 WYSB.
Very exciting.
You must fax your entry in today or tomorrow.
You said entry.
You
didn't even know that. You've never said that. You almost sounded inadvertently Southern then.
Your entry.
Is it because you're wearing the Clemson Tiger paw on your jersey?
I don't know. Would you like some sweet tea?
There he goes.
Be sweet!
I don't know. Anyway, your entry, as you Yankees say.
Yes, the Northerners.
Fax us in and tell us why we should come to your house in the Philadelphia area, 800-636-6411. Oh, we've got a whole bunch of entries, and we're going to read some more today, and we'll be picking the grand winner either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Okay? And we've got some great entries already. It's going to be very difficult. I already tell you, it's going to be difficult to pick the... because what you do, really, when we have this contest, you listen to the entries, and if everything was guaranteed to be true in all of the letters... You would have an easy time of it. It'd be pretty straightforward. You have to decipher what is bluster and what is legitimacy when you're reading these letters.
Well, we've got about five that appear to be the real Megillah.
Yeah. Now, we slam dunked it the last time we did this. The last time we had a Las Vegas style show at somebody's house, we actually picked the right letter.
Perfect location. It might as well have been the witness relocation program. This place was so far in the middle of nowhere.
It was fantastic, and I hope we... I don't know how that happened, but I know there was some behind-the-scenes effort that went. A couple of phone calls were made to double-check. And, you know, as we get closer, we're going to have to do that, but I hope we can dial in the right house.
So, Philly, get those faxes in at 800-636-6410.
And then smell my belly button.
Quit smelling my belly button.
Yeah. We will pick the winner by Wednesday. At the very latest.
Imagine what her belly button smells like.
Oh. And Mike, here's a reminder for you about Wednesday.
Yes.
You know what this is? This is my completed fantasy football update list, including mock drafts.
You will. I will have you know that this weekend I spent probably 11 hours preparing... For the fan, I am at home. I have a manila folder containing.
You are such a liar.
I am lying to my
teeth. You are such a liar.
I did not spend any time whatsoever on it. But it's nothing that I can't acquire on the internet the morning of the event. Would anyone think any? Wouldn't you all think less of me if I have actually spent more time on it?
No. I'm ready.
Look at you, all ready to go.
I could have the draft today.
Who's going to be your first pick?
Depends where I select.
say if you were going to pick a quarterback, who would be your first quarterback? Or if you're giving anything away, you know, don't tell me, but I mean...
Well, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner?
He's my number one ranked quarterback.
He was my quarterback last year.
But I figure...
Not last year. Was it last year?
I don't know.
Did I do it? I don't either. I don't even remember if I was in one last year.
You were. You and Kurt Warner.
I had Kurt Warner. Yeah. What, are you looking at last year's list? Oh, my God, you're sick.
Wow.
You're ill. You're ill.
A little obsessed.
You don't tell me you don't have last year's list.
I have last year's list. Just because, Mike, what I did was...
You save it.
I looked at last year's lists
right.
to get a feel of where guys were picking and thinking if guys have guys who
right.
did well for them last year, they might want to go in that same direction
sure.
this year.
If any listeners would like to drop off a manila envelope here at the station, if I pick yours, I'll give you full credit on the air as I'm drafting.
Just buy one of the magazines.
It's too much work.
It's too much work to go to CBS and buy a magazine.
I'm like you, it's a labor of love. You got to organize it, put it down. Have some listener do that for me, please. Neatly printed.
All right.
I'll give you full credit.
Yeah, look at that.
Plastic binder.
I got plastic binder. I got my charts. I've got the quarterbacks in the order that I will select them.
If a listener does it, I want it to look like Don's. I want it to be on graph paper.
Nice and pretty graph paper.
In my belly button.
Quit smelling my belly button.
My belly button.
So you're ready to go. If we could do the draft right now and you would be prepared.
Yeah, and here's a shock. Broyhill's ready too.
Well, of course he is. Mm-hmm.
He's ready as well.
You know, I took my car into the body shop today, and this guy, Calvin, great guy over at the body shop, was taking care of me, and I was standing, next to these people, and I thought I was going to have to wait a long time, and this guy looks at me and goes, Mike, come right over here. And I was really psyched. He said, I'm a friend of Charlie Broyles. And I made a couple of people laugh in the body shop. Because
no, he's not retarded.
I didn't think he had the social skills to actually have a friend. But that's very nice. Thank you very much, Charlie Broyhill. So I have to go upstairs and say thank you to Charlie Broyhill for acting.
Charlie has a new companion, fresh from Spain. He hasn't seen another chimp since he was a tiny baby. Charlie's dying to play with his new companion. He doesn't mean any harm. It's a simple but dramatic moment, like Tarzan meeting another human for the first time.
I have to tell Charlie that I'm very thrilled that an actual Charlie connection benefited me for one time in my life.
But in the course of battle, peace-loving Charlie ended up a casualty. He lost a finger to a sharp set of teeth. Charlie had to leave the group and recuperate by himself.
Charlie Broyhill.
Somehow he made a friend when he's not up in his cage up there playing with his feces.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello, turn your radio down, please. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey.
How's it going? Hey, I went to that Showcase Theater Sunday night in Beltsville, man.
Oh, you went to see the anal queen, Chloe.
Yeah.
What did you look like?
What did she look like?
What, did you meet some fans there, Mike? Some of our money fans?
Yeah,
I thought you guys were going to be there, man, but yeah, she's okay, man. She's okay. I mean, I heard you guys describe her over the radio Friday, man, but, you know, it looked like for 750 guys, you know, she looked pretty, you know...
Pretty what?
Pretty worn.
Why don't you try to put some words in there? What do you mean pretty worn?
We thought the same, man. I mean, you know, it looked like, you know, there's been a lot of penetration there, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know, well, now, wait a minute. I don't think anybody in this room can really speak to the...
We did not look at her brown eye.
We didn't look...
Oh, you didn't look at her brown eye?
No, we didn't look at the area down there.
What did you do? Get up there with, like, Inspector Gadget with a big, gigantic magnifying glass?
Dude, it looked pretty bad, man. Huh. It looked pretty bad.
Well, there's no way we can contradict this fellow.
She is the anal queen.
Wasn't naked in the studio, man?
She was naked, she never like bent over.
She kept her knees together.
We didn't make her bend over to look at her.
I mean, we saw the
I mean, don't get me wrong, she was pretty, you know what I'm saying? But
beautiful face. She's got a beautiful face.
Yeah. Right. I tell you what, I'm a brother too, all right? And I'm like, we went to this place, man. It's like in Beltsville, man. It looked like this little road shack on the side of the road, man. I'll tell you what, we were kind of scared at first to go in.
And what were you expecting in Beltsville, Maryland? Like the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City?
I don't know, man.
So you're saying your criticism of Chloe would be down there of where we do not speak.
Where you do not speak. Oh.
No.
I'm not talking about the back door. I'm talking about the front door too, buddy. I mean,
front door looked like it's seen a little too much action.
It was.
What was she doing? Was she in the stirrups on stage? How could you?
I tell you what. We were expecting more. All she did was dance.
So in the course of dancing, that's how you saw what you saw.
That's how I saw what I saw, right? She did a little dance. She went out to the audience, did some lap dance and dancing and stuff like that.
We didn't get the dance.
No, we didn't get that. We thought she was very pretty and very well-spoken.
Yeah, very well. But I would venture to say, with her record, that it would not necessarily... Let me, how do I phrase this nicely? It would not necessarily surprise me if, due to the volume...
She all tore up down there?
Well, she made a lot of comment about two at once, you know, and that...
She's been used more than a public toilet, yeah.
I would imagine that, you know, it would look kind of like two Harley saddlebags there.
You know, have you guys ever been to the Showcase Theater?
Oh, countless times.
Oh, okay, that was my first time.
How long has the Showcase Theater been there?
I don't know.
So you hadn't been there back in your days of working in that area, and I have never been there.
Right, I'm 31, man. That was my first time even. I didn't even know that place was back there in a cut like that. You know what I'm saying? We was hesitant at first. We even going in there, man, you know.
Well, and then you were disappointed by...
I mean, it was
Chloe's nether regions.
Oh, there was a lot of other young ladies there, too. Now, they were hot.
Ah.
They were hot, man. I was pleased with that. Yeah.
And I'm guessing you get stopped all the time on the street, and people say, Mr. Clooney, can I please have your autograph, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're so scary, drop-dead good-looking.
Yeah, right. Well, hey.
You know, there was a day when going to those joints was kind of a... Once in a while, you do it. You know what I mean? It was like kind of a real taboo thing, wasn't it? At least that's the way when I went to American University.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I went out with a bunch of seniors that took us juniors out there, it was bad. I mean, you were really being bad when you went into one of those places. Now it's like, do you want to go to happy hour or do you want to go to this joint?
VCRs and DVDs killed that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, kill that aura. Everybody stays home and watches porn now.
Video killed the radio star.
Right.
Hello,
I'm saying there are too many people out in these.
Donna Mike. Hi.
Yo.
What's
up?
Hi.
I was just seeing if you guys can do anything about the tape delay down here in Ocean City, Maryland, if you can get it on the same time you guys were on the air.
Yeah, Don.
call the station.
Boy, you got a place, Don, down on the beach.
Down at the ocean hall.
Why don't you go? Can't you do anything about that? You go down there, don't you? I mean, we're one late down there.
Well, 3 to 7.
Yeah. I can't call 3 to 7. You guys or anything. Or talk about what you guys are talking about and everything.
Can't you talk about going down there and kind of, you know, can't you talk to one of the guys and get us on
at a later time? The last time I spoke to the management at that station, 96 Rock, here's what they said.
Quit smelling my belly button.
So, you tell me, that made no sense to me.
Well, I don't think that's right.
Goodbye,
we're on tape delay, Don.
Goodbye. See you.
Come on, Don.
Oh, let me play you the tape of me calling Rob.
Very good.
Yes, please. I'm waiting in line on Saturday morning because I'm an idiot. I could go to get my oil changed any day of the week when no one's there.
Did you go to like a Jiffy Lube place?
No, I go to the dealership.
Oh, the dealer, and you have to wait in line at the dealership.
You bet your ass, you got to wait in line at the dealership.
Mm.
So I go to the dealership and I'm waiting. And
you're a major star. You shouldn't have to do that.
They're asking me to wait in the car. Well, I got no problem with that. So Rob's doing his infomercial. Car Huckster show on Saturday morning.
The Happy Joy Joy show.
And I had to wait on hold for 18 minutes.
Great show. Great dealer's
been there.
No problem because, you know, as it turns out, I've got unlimited minutes on weekends. What, Mike? What did I miss?
Great show. Great dealership. Yes, it is.
And you,
yeah.
You have nothing to say about this because you will attach your name to any car dealer in the world, and I bring that up in my phone call.
Yes, okay. I'll look forward to that, but I actually did buy a car from them.
Yeah, but Buzz, come
two
on.
Of them, actually.
Come on, you whore yourself out, and more power to you.
Yeah.
But if you turn on this station, any hour of the day or night, you will hear Buzz selling
cars.
Japanese cars,
yep.
Nicaraguan cars,
right.
Cars from Honduras, American cars, British cars.
And you can get your eyes all chopped up, too.
So anyway, I decided to call Rob.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Now let's go. We got Bill, who is standing by. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm not feeling too perky.
Oh.
Satan's had his way.
Oh, no, Bill. Are you not well?
I'm not feeling too perky. I hear this hippie who does the commercials, and frankly, I think he's a whore.
Oh, you mean Buzz Burbank?
Yes, Buzz Burbank.
Do you have any thoughts on Buzz?
Well, have you given him a urine sample?
Have you given?
I haven't. I don't know what the policy is at the dealership.
Oh, we did.
Yeah,
did?
When he bought the cars, we had to have a sample.
Yeah, we had to.
How'd it come back?
Bloody.
Oh.
Hey, these guys are horrible.
Yeah. He's not feeling too perky either, Rob.
Maybe it's in his diet. Do you know, what have you had today to eat, Bill?
Lima beans, German potato salad.
Yeah.
I dropped a lot of bombs on him, and Rob,
you can
email me at liquiddimbrough@elvis.com.
Fantastic, Bill. Thanks for checking in.
And you tell Mike Source that I've served this country well.
Okay. Oh, by the way, how are your fingernails?
My fingernails grow.
Okay. All the women?
All the women are jealous of my fingernails.
Thanks for checking in, Bill.
Dinner's
Rob. Hey, avoid constipation, okay?
At all costs. TCB.
Bye.
Now, what is the look on the car dealer's face when he calls in with that? Do they get it? Do they know?
Yeah. They're both big fans of this program.
Oh, good.
And they basically just sit back and they know they're off the hook for 90 seconds.
Bill Smith.
Bill and Orestes.
I am glad I didn't have it turned out. I would have been in the ditch if I had heard that.
Bill Smith. Great fun calling Rob's infomercial.
Hello.
Wait, you still on at 9 o'clock?
9 to 11 now.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
While I'm sitting in line waiting to have the oil change, I keep getting the call wait thing. Mm-hmm. So my wife called me and I didn't pick it up,
right?
Because you know I never knew when Rob was going to take my call on the radio. Right. So after 20 minutes, I call her back and she goes, "I've been trying to call you. I know I was on hold on Rob's show." She said, "Why don't you just call on the hotline? It's more fun to call on the request line."
And it's more fun for me because I had no idea it was you. Normally, if I see a name like Dieter or Klaus, I know it's you. But when I see Bill from Reston, otherwise I would have gone to you a lot sooner.
Bill. Let me see the weekend. I have got some weekend stuff to tell you about.
Very good.
That Friday night we had neighbors come over, neighbors that I'm quite fond of. We had only one awkward moment.
Now, when you say you're fond of these neighbors from a social standpoint, I know you've mentioned being fond of neighbors for a variety of reasons. I know the British couple you loved; they were just so much fun. And then there were other couples you've mentioned for a variety. You like the guy, or sometimes you like the woman.
Mm-hmm. I like them both.
Okay.
I like them both. Thuy is the woman's name.
Oh, yes.
Vietnamese. And incidentally, breaks the stereotype about boobs on Asian girls.
Wow, fantastic.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Hi, Don.
So they come over for dinner on Friday night,
right.
And we're sitting out on the patio, and we are enjoying an adult beverage, and I've cut way back on the vodka.
Right.
Way back. It's been like 3 months. We didn't even have vodka in the house.
Wow.
So we were way to go buy a bottle of vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I had a martini, and Thuy had a martini, the wife of the guy. And we were sitting outside, and I was telling them that story about when we were on vacation at the beach, when Bart and I were in the convenience store, and we saw the case of Mike's Hard Lemonade, the cranberry, and I put it in the basket of the bicycle, mm-hmm. and it was like that movie Pollock.
Yeah, where he goes down when he's driving with a case of beer.
And, okay, here's the awkward moment. So I'm relaying this story, and I said, here's how you know when you're when you're an alcoholic. When you go, you ride your bike with your son to go to the convenience store, and you end up coming home with a case of Mike's Hard Lemonade, that's how you know. And one of them, I don't remember which one, says to me, "You know, when I first thought you were an alcoholic."
Oh.
And I said, "When?"
Oh.
And I remember it was the guy, the husband. He said, "It was back in March when we had that party in our house, and you brought your own bottle of vodka."
Ah.
And at that point, I brought my own bottle.
Right.
Because I didn't know if you'd have the kind of Grey Goose orange that at the time I was drinking.
Don, that's certainly not an alcoholic. That's liking your own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with liking your own flavor. If you like something that's a little hard to get, you know, so be it.
It was an awkward moment
when we first thought you were an alcoholic.
Wow. Ouch.
My God.
My friends have stopped saying that.
It was an awkward moment. And then we had a great moment for my son. I went to see two movies this weekend because the weather is code red. And my allergist has said, stay inside.
Right.
You know, obviously my voice is a little raspy today, but pretty good.
Sounds better than it was last week.
Yeah.
Pretty good for code red weather.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, I keep thinking Mountain Dew when you say that. Yeah.
What?
Code red.
Code red. Oh, because that's what you drink.
Wonderful beverage. Yeah.
So I went to see two movies. I took my kid to see Triple X.
Was it as bad as we had set it up for?
Worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's an idiot movie.
Worse. This guy, Vin Diesel.
Right. No, he's not retarded.
No, yes, he is. Absolutely retarded. I mean...
Oh, the things I do for my country. I think he's a closet gay.
I've always told him, smoking will kill you. Yeah, when some guy is...
Standard, trite, cliche, action, adventure.
Getting killed, and the special effects in this movie, Triple X, they look like a video game.
Right.
I mean, they're so...
They all do.
So goddamn phony and fake. And everybody's seen the one where he drives the car off the bridge. And
yeah, nobody uses stuntmen anymore. What they use is they use blue screen. And you know what? It's not the same.
But my kid wanted to see the movie. I told you it was going to make a gazillion dollars.
And it did.
Yeah, $42 million because of all these people like my son, 17, 18 years old, who love this guy. So we go to see the movie, and we're in the car on the way back home, and he says, oh, crap, I lost my license. I lost my driver's license. I lost my wallet.
Oh, no.
Now, I know we do a lot of talking on the show about my kid and all of the wonderful pleasures that I allow him in life.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the truth is, beyond the fact that I allow him a car to drive as long as his grades are good, he's got to work for his own money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just stand there and hand out money like I'm a goddamn ATM. And listen, everybody, will you stop calling it an ATM machine?
Yeah.
Because that is repetitive.
Redundant.
Automatic teller machine. Don't say, have you stopped at the ATM machine?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Just say ATM. Mike, do you do that?
Well, the other day, I was out getting some beer. You might find that strange. And
Are you an alcoholic?
Yes. And I went to... I asked where the ATM machine was. And it was right after I had gotten done filling my car up at the gas machine.
Well, hold on. My kid's calling in. Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Fantastic.
What can I do for you?
I was a little hurt by your comments about our movie.
I told you that movie sucked.
Well, I mean, who's the one who called Vin Diesel a closet fake?
Uncle Mike.
I was.
Mike.
If you don't like that movie, you might be a closet fake.
Don't call Uncle Mike a closet fag.
No, young man. No, I did not young call him. Man. I said, if you don't like one.
Now, come on now. This is your Uncle Mike you're talking to here.
I know.
You know, now watch out there. I just think the way he talks, his speech patterns, there's just a tiny little lisp there.
I told him to stop smoking.
There's just a little bit. You know, when he's in Boiler Room and he does the closing, that's it. Thank you, sir. No problem. Watch that.
Shall I have the money sent to your office or to your mansion?
Am I right?
Yeah.
There is a little bit of that. Shall I? Thank you, sir. Very
no.
good. Vin Diesel.
There's
and how about that jacket he wears?
That
jacket that looks like something Carol Channing would wear.
Gay thing.
They're saying it's going to bring back the fur-lined jacket for men.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's something in your packet about it.
All right, Barbie.
Dr. Zayas. Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So anyway,
I just wanted to jump in. Keep in mind, if you say ATM machine, people might think you're referring to the other ATM that we learned on last Friday's show.
Oh, ass to mouth.
Right.
Oh, ATM machine. Butterscotch machine.
Which would be quite a machine.
Chloe is an ATM machine.
You know, you had that line from Boiler Room perfectly. You're a bigger fan of Boiler Room than I am.
I love that movie.
Should I have it sent to your house or your office?
Shall I have the receipt sent to your office? Or to your mansion?
To your mansion. Thank you, sir.
We like to start with something small. And we'll swing for the fences the next time out.
Boy, now you can't argue with Boiler Room. That is a great Vin Diesel movie, but there's something about him.
I'm afraid I can only sell you 2,000 shares this time around. And he holds the phone and waits for the doctor to go,
why can you only sell me 2,000? Because here at I wish you could remember the name of the here at it's not Morgan Stanley, it's
that's
something great. It's something like that. It's something and something.
Right.
Here's something and something. We'd like to establish a rapport with our investors. Let's start small. Let me show you a small increase, 4 to 5%, and next time, I promise you, you'll swing. We'll swing for the fences.
Wow.
It's Boiler Room. You got to watch it.
Great movie. Yeah. Really great movie.
Great movie. But Vin Diesel is just an embarrassment in this triple X. So we get done, and we're on the way home, and my kid says, "Oh, I lost my wallet." Now, my point is that he has to work for all of his money. He has two jobs, and he does odd jobs. He paints, and he painted our deck. He's painted houses in our area, and his money is very important to him. Mm. And like a typical idiot kid, he carries it with him all the time.
All of his cash?
So he had like $80 with him and a paycheck from work.
Mm.
And we get home from the movies, and he is absolutely out of his friggin' mind.
Sure.
He's running around the house. He's looking for this. And then at one point he comes to me and starts going off on me. And he says, "I wouldn't have lost my wallet if you didn't make me get a haircut today." And I said, "Huh? What? He said, "I wouldn't have lost my wallet if you didn't make me get a haircut." I said, "Why?" Because he's positive he lost his wallet when he went to get a haircut.
Right.
And I said, "That's stupid. You know, you lost your wallet because you always lose stuff because you're not organized, blah, 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 blah." So we go on, And now he's resigned to the fact that he's lost his wallet. Well, about 7:30 Saturday night, WJFK, our flagship station, is the Redskins station.
That's right.
Okay? Also flagship station for the Redskins Radio Network. And Lisa runs the board for the Redskins games.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the commercials and stuff. So it's about 7:30, half hour till kickoff. She sees one of the request lines ringing. She just picks it up. And goddamn if my kid isn't the luckiest kid in the world that somebody outside the movie theater,
right,
found the wallet.
Very cool.
Recognized the name.
Wow. Right.
And then called the radio station, happened to call on a request line that normally odds are 99 out of 100 times would never be picked up.
Right.
Especially during a Redskins game.
Sure, absolutely. And you have a chance some of the board ops around here would not, you know, make that connection.
So Lisa calls and she says, "Hi, did Bart lose his wallet?" I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" She says, "A guy just called on the request line."
How cool is that?
So anyway, thanks to that guy, whoever he was, and the money was there, and his paycheck was there, and Carl from Reston. Thank you, Lisa. That's the guy's name.
And the reward for Carl from Reston
was a hearty handshake from my son. You know, I left it up to him.
Right.
I left it up to him. So he was happy. I'm happy. My wife's happy. We now get to Sunday, and I say to my wife, "We'll do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do." She can't decide what she wants to do, so I say, "Let's go see the Clint Eastwood movie."
Wow.
Well, because
potential, you know, though, it's potential if you go make that commitment to go see Clint Eastwood.
Right.
After Triple X, it's going to put you in a bad mood.
Now, we get to the theater, and really, I got to put this one on my wife, because as we are walking into the theater, we hear, this is a 12:10 showing,
right,
of Blood Work. We hear that Signs starts at 12:05.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, gotta go to Signs.
So I say to her, as we're standing there waiting for our popcorn, I said, "It's your choice,
right?
It's your choice, because you were nice enough. My wife actually watched football with me on Saturday night."
That's good.
"And actually is trying to understand the nuances of the game.
Of the football game."
Oh, you know, it's so funny. That, you know, she really thinks I'm a dope. Really. But when we were watching the football game, and I was explaining to her, we were watching the Redskins versus Carolina, and I said, "You know, the beauty of what they're doing right now is that
he's just taking what the defense has given him. They're playing a soft defense. They're playing off about 10 yards on the receiver. And the quarterback, he's just taking what they're giving him.
And your wife is listening, pretending to be interested in that?
Well, no, she is. Until 2 seconds later, the guy on TV says, "We see they're playing a cover two. Right now, they're just taking what the defense is giving them. Now, that's a smart play. They're taking what the defense is giving them." And she looks at me and she goes, "I just said that." I said, "Yeah, I'm right. I just said that. I'm your man." So she was nice enough to watch this game with me on Sunday. I said to her when we got to the point we said what we were going to see, I said, "I know you're not crazy about Clint Eastwood, but we can go see Signs." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Nah, you know what? We can see Signs anytime. Let's go to Clint Eastwood." I said, "Okay, but it's on you."
Okay.
She said, "No problem." First off, my worst fears came true because he is shirtless for maybe 25% of the movie. Because in the movie, he's got another person's heart.
Oh, really?
And he has a giant scar down the middle of his chest.
Right.
And I'm not...
But he's had a heart transplant? Or
no, he was shot.
He's got another person's heart?
Yes. Now, I'm no fag.
I mean, I just want to clear this up. When you're saying this, is this a horror action adventure?
No, he's a cop who got shot.
And they popped another heart into his chest?
Right.
Okay, you know, now, like they do.
Does he have bolts on his neck?
No, I'm no fag, okay? But I'm telling you, the Clint Eastwood...
If a guy gets shot in the heart, they can put another guy's heart in your chest? Do they explain that at all?
He got shot somewhere besides in the heart.
Were you not interested? Were you looking at your watch early?
She probably know why. She figured the movie out like an hour before I did.
I mean, they don't. You know, you don't get shot and get a new heart.
Good, good.
Unless you're Frankenstein or
free heart with every surgery.
But he had a very rare blood type.
Hello,
sweetie.
What, boo?
Why did Clint Eastwood need a heart transplant?
Oh, gosh darn, I can't believe it. Because he was chasing that guy and he had a heart attack.
Oh, that's right, he had a heart attack.
Wow.
Sorry, I guess I forgot that part.
You weren't paying attention.
Well,
I forgot that
it
part.
It was easy to drift off in this movie.
So.
The very beginning, the titles came up and I said to you, "Is that the name of the movie, Bloodwork?" Because it looked like a whole movie title sequence.
And?
Clint must have paid for it out of his own pocket. The way I figure, he doesn't get a lot of roles offered to him anymore.
Now, let me give my wife lots of credit here that she figured out the plot. She immediately knew the plot, like 30 minutes into it.
Right. Didn't have to be a genius.
Well, you were ahead of me on that. And Clint Eastwood has his shirt off for 25% of the movie. And like I was starting to say, I'm no fag, but he has the weirdest, most deformed left nipple that I've ever seen on a guy. It's not in and it's not out.
Would you like the receipt sent to your office or your mansion?
I'm no fag, though.
You see him, and immediately I said to my husband,
facelift.
Oh, he had work done. Look.
Facelift.
But
he really needs
he
a
really
boob
needs
lift.
He needs a chest lift really bad.
And he's got his shirt off constantly in this movie.
Apparently quite a passionate worker outer, Clint Eastwood.
Well, he needs to work
really
a little harder.
Well, he's 70, right? Yeah. Isn't he 70?
Yeah, does he work out?
Well, they used to, like, back in the days of Magnum P.I. and those movies, they used to talk about what an elaborate gym he had. Magnum Force, not Magnum P.I. I'm sorry, it's always Tom Selleck with me. Would you like the receipt sent to your office or your mansion? But they said he had a big, elaborate gym set up in his house.
I've never seen him buff. I mean, even in his youth, he was more sinewy.
Yeah, sinewy. That's the kind of body.
So she points out as we're watching this movie, and we know right away. We made the wrong choice.
Yeah,
we should have gone to see Signs.
As soon as the hand-printed titles came up,
go see Signs.
We knew that it was a mistake, but we stuck with it. And as we're watching the movie, she says to me, "Notice this as well. That the Clint Eastwood's female lead is a real hot Hispanic chick. But whenever they have a romantic moment together...
Or even a pre-romantic. She just looks at him.
They play the most jive Spanish guitar.
Right.
It's like, as soon as you see her, keep in mind, this is a mystery thriller. No, it's very slow. It's it's so stereotypical. The music, because it's like,
Like a flamenco kind of thing?
They might as well have been playing a Taco Bell commercial in the background whenever you see her put her arm on Clint.
Castanets?
Yeah. And then they really get into high gear when she starts kissing his scars.
Oh, no.
He takes his shirt off.
Ew.
He's 72, by the way.
And she starts kissing his scars.
And you know what? I forgot to mention to you, darling. There was so much to talk about after we left that movie. Did you see the way the black, pretty black lady sheriff said, when he said to her near the end of the movie, "Isn't there someone in your life?" And you know she's hungering for him, too, because all 30-year-old women want instead of 2-year-old.
Right.
And
maybe that's why he's making these movies. That's what it's all about.
And she looked at the Hispanic woman slowly, and realizing that he was taken, mm-hmm. she said, she lied to be brave. "Yes, there's someone in my life," as she looked at him wistfully.
And then right after that, it comes up and it says, "Produced and directed by Clint Eastwood." Well, no, you know, no ass.
She's hungering for him, too.
Oh, there are several ladies hungering for him in this
movie. That's it. I'm afraid that's what it is for Clint right
now.
You know, making those movies where he's still the superstar.
It was awful. And then yesterday, you know, honey, again, I'm going to apologize to you because I was not jolly yesterday from about 3 o'clock till about 8 o'clock. And I'll tell you why I wasn't jolly. I wasn't jolly because I knew that there was going to be sex in my future. I knew there was going to be sex
in
my future.
That would normally make you jolly.
Didn't make you jolly?
Well, here's the deal.
Waiting never makes him jolly.
You know, my kid, here's the thing. When are you going out? I don't know. When are you going out? Give us a time when you're going out. I don't know. When do you think you're leaving the house? 3:30. So I'm thinking 3:30. Bingo. Bingo.
Right?
I know he's still sitting on his ass at 3:30 watching TV. I come down and I go, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm not going out till later." I'm like, Christ. I go over to Frieda and I say, "Why don't we just go up and lock the door?" She's like, "No, wait till he leaves." I said, "Well, you're teasing me with this all day. You know, come on."
Teasing you? I didn't realize that.
You mentioned it. You mentioned that we could have sex.
And then you became obsessed with it.
And that is the equivalent of teasing you all day?
That is enough. That's all I need. So now
when you send the boy out for some errands.
Well, because we keep thinking that he's going to be leaving at any moment.
Oh, I understand. So it wasn't like you were going to say he thought he was just going to be gone.
No. He said, and here's the answer he loves giving us. We say, "What are you doing?" "I don't know." "When are you leaving?" "I don't know." "Well, then you don't have plans." "Oh, yeah, I do." So it gets to be 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Finally, we get the plan that he's meeting these people.
At midnight.
He's meeting girls. Just him and 2 girls. They're going to go out to dinner at 7:30. So at 7 o'clock, man, I start prowling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm prowling. I'm walking around. 7:30. I'm ready. 7:30. I go up and I say to Frieda, "Why is he still here?" She says, "Because the girls that he's going out to eat with are late arriving."
And do you think maybe he was feeling that vibe that you wanted him out of the house?
No, he had no idea.
He
did too when you almost forcibly grabbed me and I said, "Just wait." And then he went, "Oh, ew." He knew.
Well, that was like at 5:30.
So that's why he probably was, you know, doing that thing kids do, going the opposite of what you want.
He was just waiting for his friends to come over.
So now it's now like 8:10, and these 2 girls arrive, and my kid is sitting upstairs, not ready.
Sure.
He's playing on the computer, and these 2 girls who he's going out to dinner with are sitting in our kitchen. And I go upstairs, and I go, "Wait, you lazy ass." All day, you've been waiting to get out. Now, Mom and I are downstairs entertaining your friends. Get out of here. You know, and really, the reason I want him to get out of here is because
I'm getting down
to business. So, they finally leave. And then my wife goes over and she wants to put on her Luther Vandross, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Heat Wave.
She wants to set the moment.
The music.
Well, here's the problem.
I wasn't ready for that.
You wanted to hear that Spanish guitar that Clint Eastwood
got. I said, it's really a waste to put music on because I'm going to be done before the first song.
No, it was a long song.
Well, so
don't sell yourself short.
It doesn't matter. So we go upstairs and
put that song, and what says something goes.
After the love was gone, and that's what my DJ is the time on that song.
Album version 542.
There you go.
For a while.
So that you know that it was just that one song. That's a long time.
Someone is that one of your songs, Frida? That really
motivates
you? No, it
just has to be the first cut on the Smooth Moves album.
Smooth Moves. So I go upstairs and right away I see candles and she's got her goddamn music playing and I know that this is not going to be. In and out, no pun intended.
Right.
That it's listen, I have no problem with, you know, as much foreplay as I can possibly tolerate before we actually start the event. But because I've had it in my mind all day,
Frida, I found another record to play. This is my song that I want to play.
He's up. He's left the house. I'm coming upstairs right now. Here I go. No, get rid of that Earth, Wind, and Fire. Here
do
I go.
Do it.
Reached the mailbox. It's all over,
right? And there you go. We are officially over now.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. See you next week.
So, we get upstairs, and this is the problem, and I'm going to have to be careful, because I don't want to be terribly graphic here.
Oh, God, here we go. You know, I always...
I'm trying.
Get upstairs. This is when I start to get oogie.
I am trying.
Me too.
I am trying.
And it's not because of you, Frida. Just remember that. It's not me. No, it's when he's talking.
I was there, and it's making me feel ugly.
No, here's the thing. I am trying very hard, pun intended, to make sure that my wife gets at least a small percentage of pleasure out of this.
That's nice. That's very kind of you.
Let me just say that I am using one of these dumb... Laura Korn, Nora Hayden, the sex whore, you know, bitch writers that we've had on the show, one of their dumb techniques.
Is it the don't share the gift?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate that.
That's funny. So here I am. I'm ready. I've been ready since...
But you're teasing.
I've been ready since it was announced at like 9 a.m. And then I thought it was going to happen at 3 p.m.
Right.
And I've waited now until 8:15 p.m.
Right.
And it's finally happening. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use this technique. And she's saying to me,
No.
That's not what I want.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what she wants. She wants...
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
So hold on a second.
He loves it. There's nothing. You know what? He loves this more. I think sometimes he loves this more than doing it himself.
I say to her.
So much longer. If this was as fast as the actual event.
I say to her, if I do what you're asking,
okay, I'm
it's going to be over. And she said, that's okay.
Goodbye, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye. Love you.
Do you think it's because she wants it so bad or because she just wants to get it over with?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. You didn't ask that question during the before and after.
Well, no, I kind of approached it later.
What do you think? What do you theorize?
Well, I think... I don't want to sound... I think she just wanted me.
There you go.
That's fair.
She wanted it.
You answer that honestly. You would answer it the other way if you thought it was true.
I think she wanted it.
I hope that's true.
Well, she told me she wanted it all day. I mean, she didn't say it like that.
And then maybe that's what it was.
There you go. She may have been as eager as you were.
Hello?
Sweetie.
Yes?
Mike brought up a good question.
What?
Yeah, my question was when you were saying, you know, I don't want that technique,
mm-hmm.
was it because you desired... You know what, or because you just wanted to get it over with?
No, I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it over with. But I don't. That's just annoying.
Okay, that answers the question.
Right.
That's good for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Way to go, stud.
Love you, sweetie.
Hey.
Well, she loves me, too.
Way to go, though. Hey. She'd answer that question. You know she'd answer that question honestly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
it's good. Everything's well in the Geronimo house.
Then it was Katie barred the door. It was like, you know, okay. I got a hall pass.
Now, where are you going with this?
La, 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 la. Maybe, conservatively speaking, 10 seconds later.
Okay.
It was over.
Okay, good, good.
It was
good.
Done.
Good, good. Now I'm
done.
Now this is when I get real hinky about the fact that you might be putting more detail in than we need.
No.
This might be more information than we need. So it was over.
You're going to like this.
Okay.
Because now it's over.
Yes.
And we're laying there for a moment because I've seen enough movies that I know this is what you do.
Yeah. Good.
You don't just push her off you. You lay there for a second. So we're laying for a second, and I say, you know, I was trying to hold out to please you.
Yeah, okay.
And she said, oh, no, things were great. I don't like it when you do that. I like it just when we do it. And I said,
okay.
What, Mike?
I'm just this would be the segment where I'm just, when I asked that question with your wife, just wanted to get it over with quick. This would be the section on the show where I just wanted to get over with quick. I'm very scared that there's going to be more detail that's going to hook me out a little bit.
I think you're going to like the end.
Okay.
So after I give her the requisite arm around her and, you know,
the nurturing cuddle.
And I say,
right.
You know, I did that for you. And she said, no, I'm, listen, I loved it the way that it was.
Right.
Then I said to her, well, good. Then, go. I said, go. I stood down with my hand. I said,